Chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 is what we'll be looking at today. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Today, we're talking about joy. And you've heard me talk a little bit with the children already. Happiness versus joy. Happiness is what we would say is it can be a fleeting, circumstantial. It's based on what's going on around you. It's dependent on good feelings or events, things like getting gifts or having fun. But joy is something deep, something abiding. I would say it's even a gift from God, and it's independent of circumstances, and it's grounded in the presence of God himself. I'm not going to take time to read it or to elaborate on it today, but if you're really wanting to delve into joy and this type of joy, I encourage you to read Psalm chapter 16. It's a place in the Old Testament where David himself really expounds on joy in a way that I think can also speak to us. So, happiness. Happiness. And don't get me wrong, happiness is not a bad thing. I like being happy. But with God, we can appreciate more fully, appropriately, the things that really make us happy. So being happy is a good thing, but I just want us to understand the difference in happiness and joy. Here are some things that make me happy. A good tasting meal. Opening a box of chocolates, laughing at a joke, having someone else laugh at my joke, experiencing the joy of a warm candle. I said joy, the happiness of a warm candle for a moment. A good movie. I probably shouldn't say this, but getting a good deal on Amazon. Now, joy. Those things are happiness. But see if you can hear the difference in what brings happiness and what brings joy. Here are some things about joy that bring joy. When you reflect on your life and are overcome with gratitude. When you know your kids are in God's care, even if they're facing problems you can't fix for them. When you look back at a difficult journey and can be thankful for that experience. When caring for a friend interrupts your schedule, you do it anyway, and you're glad you did. How do you want to live your life? If you've heard this saying before, I think you'll understand. Happiness is maybe living a good life, things going well, but God bless you. But you're waiting for the shoe to drop. You know what that means? Have you heard that saying before? You're waiting for the shoe to drop. You know it's going really good now, but part of you can't even enjoy it because you know it ain't going to last forever. So you're just waiting for the shoe to drop so you can deal with whatever mess is going to come you're going to have to deal with. That's what living according to happiness is like. What do you want your life to be like? Do you want to live waiting for the shoe to drop, or waiting for the inevitable, realizing it can't always be good? Or do you want to live a life of joy, a never-ending gift of assurance that supersedes, that overshadows the circumstances of life? People, I've said that this year in particular, as we look at the different words for Advent, hope, peace, joy, and love, We're going to talk about practical ways. We're going to talk about how we have that in our life. It's not just going to be words we talk about. It's not just going to be candles that we light. But if we don't already have it and claim it and know it in a very real way, we are going to understand how we can have this type of joy in our life right now. And I'm asking you, are you satisfied with happiness? Living a life that you have its ups and downs and waiting for the shoe to drop? Or do you have joy, or do you want joy that is a never-ending gift of assurance that isn't dependent on your circumstances? Advent is a time of waiting. For the Israelites' Advent, the time of waiting was filled with real-world anxieties, injustice, depression, and spiritual bondage. Does any of this sound familiar? Do you have anxiety? Have you experienced or know people who experience injustice or depression? Have you felt spiritually dry at any point recently? You don't have to wait. Jesus has already come. Our celebration of Advent can be misleading at times. We keep talking about waiting for the Christ candle to be lit, waiting for the Christ child to be born, waiting for the Messiah to arrive. Correcting this to recapture the essence, the beauty, the intimacy of what God did for us in sending his Son into the world. He's already done it. We don't have to wait anymore. Jesus has arrived. He's already here. You don't have to wait. But we live in a world that even believers sometimes struggle to accept the truth of the birth of the Christ child in our lives. And I believe a lot of this can be summed up as fear. Hear me. As we have already seen it in Scripture, we touched on it last week, and we see it again in our Scripture for today in Luke 2 that we've read earlier, verse 9. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid." But then it continues in verse 10. It says, "And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Fear not. Mary. She was troubled and fearful when the angel Gabriel told her she would conceive a son miraculously, realizing that she would face potential shame and an uncertain future. Joseph. He feared scandal and the legal implications of Mary's pregnancy, planning to divorce her quietly before an angel appeared in a dream, telling him not to be afraid to take her as his wife. There is a reoccurring fear not in the Scriptures. And people, I believe there should probably be a reoccurring fear not in our own lives. Angels repeatedly appeared to these characters, reassuring them with the message, "Fear not, because God was bringing great joy and salvation to the world through baby Jesus." God is speaking to you today. He is saying, "Fear not. I have already come for you. I bring joy and salvation." Now, I'm not sure Zach Williams intended his song entitled "Fear Not" to be considered a Christmas song. No, it's not "Fear Not." Fear is a liar. But as I prepared today's message, it sure seemed to me it could be. For many of the people who witnessed the birth of Christ, but especially for the shepherds, hear this just for a moment. When he told you you're not good enough, the shepherds were the low ones on the totem pole. They felt this. They knew this to the core of what that was. When he told you you're not right, Joseph was dealing with what he's supposed to do. Is this really the right thing for me to do? When he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, Mary was a young teenager. How could she possibly deal with this? Would be something I would imagine she could ask. When he told you you're not worthy, again, the shepherds had been told that all their lives. When he told you you're not loved, the shepherds were looked at as the least of these. When he told you you're not beautiful, the shepherds knew that they didn't smell good, dirty, that they were outcast. You'll never be enough. Shepherds, for the most part, didn't think they had any chance of ever bettering themselves. But then listen to the chorus of this song. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. And then there's more. That lying that fear does. Fear, when it told you you were troubled, you will forever be alone. How alone do you think Mary felt? In the midst of hearing something she couldn't understand. When he told you you should run away, you think Mary thought for a moment, I can't handle this. You'll never find a home. The shepherds really didn't even have a home. They lived out in fields with stinky, ignorant animals. You're dirty. Shepherds knew they were dirty. You should be ashamed. Really? All you can be is a shepherd? And when he told you, you could be the one that grace could never change. But then at the end it says, let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. God, let your fire fall. Your love is all I feel. Couldn't that be a Christmas carol? Now I want to go back and look at this through our lives. Have you ever felt like you're not good enough? Have you ever felt like you're not right or you're not strong enough to put up a good fight? That you're not worthy, that you're not loved, that you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough? That you'll forever be alone even though you could be around tons of people? That you should maybe run away, that you'll never find a home that you can really call a home? That you're dirty? That you should be ashamed? That you could be the one that grace can never change. People, when we believe these lies, even for a moment, we can't have joy. We can have happiness as the world offers, and that's what we strive for, and that's what we hold on to. But these lies tell us we can't have joy, and we don't deserve joy. Fear. This type of fear is something we need to stand face to face with and say no more and allow God to be the one to intercede. Joy. Joy is what we need to claim, and joy is powerful. Joy is real, and it's possible for you to have it today. We spoke last week about the power of God's presence, and that's what you have to have in order to have joy. You can't create it yourself. You can't make it yourself. You can't be good enough. You can't act the right way to have joy. The joy only comes with the presence of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's presence gives us the ability to overcome fear. These things that we just talked about, and embrace joy. There's also what some people refer to as a second advent. the second coming of Christ. We know how the story ends. We know who wins. And if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know we are on the winning side between God and Satan. What does it look like to claim the power of joy? This is what I believe it would look like. We focus on the eternal things and God's faithfulness. What God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. Not on the things the world says you need to be happy or successful. What is your focus on? It's okay to be happy. God wants us to be happy. But if that's really what we focus on this time of year or any time, it's going to let us down. We're going to wait for the shoe to drop, and then we're not going to have that anymore. But we can also turn waiting into joyful anticipation. A lot of us don't like waiting. I don't like waiting. I don't. But we can turn waiting into joyful anticipation. This is where we can appropriately apply the celebration of Advent. It's waiting. That's what Advent is. Letting the growing, glowing light of Advent fill our hearts with anticipation of what God is doing and will do in our lives. A lot of times we feel like we're waiting, we prayed, God's not answering, or at least it doesn't feel like he's answering. But I tell you, God is moving. God is working. And if it feels like anything's not happening, that's when the most might be happening within our own selves. Maybe the most important thing. Find joy in the journey. Acknowledge the blessings, even the small ones, as reminders of God's goodness. Joy is powerful. It is our strength. It provides energy, hope, and courage, and it anchors us beyond circumstances. Hear that again. Joy is powerful. It is our strength. It provides energy. It provides hope. It provides courage, and it anchors us beyond our circumstances. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, going back to the Old Testament, says this: "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The power of joy is meant to be shared. In fact, when we have experienced real joy, I don't believe it's possible not to share it. If we look back at what we read today, well, in chapter 2, verse 17, we see, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." And then in verse 20, it says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." I don't know about you, but if they've returned glorifying and praising God for what they had seen, I don't think they went in a room somewhere and did that by themselves. I think they were praising as they went wherever they went and acknowledging God being the reason for that. This Advent season, we are invited to let go of our struggles, our fears, and the pursuit of temporary happiness, and instead lean into the true source of joy, the presence of Jesus. God desires you to experience this joy that will completely change the way you live your life journey, empowering you to live with hope and peace, both of which we spoke about in the past 2 weeks. This is not just the conclusion of a nice-sounding sermon, folks. It is a promise offered to you not by me, but by God. You can have real joy no matter what you're facing or will face. And this comes through the power of joy delivered to us by the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, how can you shift from anxious happiness to steadfast joy this week? Where do you need the power of God with us to overcome fear and find peace?